Welcome to the Business Accelerated Company live event series, where our theme for 2015 is marketing. Marketing is a challenge for many businesses, large and small, so finding the right resources to help us is an even bigger challenge. Our goal here at Business Accelerated is to make marketing simple. I'm Ellen Harris, and joining us today is Jason Warner of Opus Media. He is our first guest to help us launch this series. Before I begin discussing marketing with Jason, I would like to tell you a bit about his company, Opus Media. It's a web design and full-service marketing boutique established in Baltimore, Maryland in 2008. They excel in delivering marketing solutions that are founded in thorough planning and research designed to speak to target audiences and implemented in a coordinated manner across marketing channels in order to deliver the greatest impact. They deliver their solutions in a complete marketing framework, strategy, production, and analysis that are focused on driving conversion for their clients, increasing their bottom line. They take a metrics-first approach that leverages tangible marketing data to infer and analyze the efficacy of their strategies in order to make continual improvements through perpetual optimization. They enjoy a nimble business model that allows for a level, tactical agility that is not often found in larger agencies. Depth of services and world-class experience help them establish a higher benchmark for complete quality marketing solutions not often found at smaller agencies. They are Opus Media. Jason Warner is our guest. Welcome, Jason.
Hi, Ellen. Thanks for having me.
I would like to kick off our discussion around the concept of email. In our professional careers, I supported email on the back end through Unified Communications, and when I read your background, you provided your support on the front end. So give us a little bit of background and history of how you got involved with email.
I often like to say I got suckered into email, Ellen. It was one of these things where as the Internet evolved as a marketing medium, nobody knew how to really approach email at the agency I was working at the time. I was working at a large, actually the largest advertising agency in our area, and it was this uncharted territory for them. And being low guy on the totem pole at the time, it was kind of given to me. You know, you figure this out was kind of the approach that was taken with it, and just kind of immersed myself in learning email marketing from there, from both a technical standpoint of how do we deploy emails, what systems do we use, what sort of technology goes into deploying emails, but also through the ideas of how do we improve email in terms of its efficacy as a marketing channel. From there, it kind of, again, working in an agency setting, got to have a wide range of experiences in working on both the technology platforms that were available, because it seemed as though each and every client had a different platform that they preferred to use for delivering their email marketing messages, as well as different considerations for the types of messages and the types of emails that we would send out to varying different clients, ranging everywhere from e-commerce direct sales emails to the softer side of you know, more or less what we have today as exists through inbound marketing of using information as currency to keep an audience warm and to interact and engage with an audience through a channel, in this case email, that they found to be most conducive. This experience predates anything with social media, so if you were to have regular dialogue with your clients or with your audience, your potential customers at the time, it was truly email was really the only medium at the time in which you could send a direct message to your constituency, to your potential customers, to let them know what's going on with your business, be it new events, new products, or that you're running a sale, or just to say, hi, hey, check out this link we saw. I mean, this predates Twitter and Facebook as entities. So this was pretty much it back in the day.
Now, as a target market, you identified business owners. What were some of the challenges you observed that attracted you to that market?
Some of the challenges business owners face, I'll say it's an internal struggle as well as an external struggle. to really break it down. The internal struggle that business owners face from a challenge perspective is understanding data, which we do a lot of simplifying data for our customers here at Opus Media. Understanding and tempering behaviors would be another thing that business owners struggle with internally in terms of the tendency to over-email or to, on the other side of that, under-email or neglect their email campaigns would be the two biggest things from an internal struggle. The external struggles is understanding your audience and developing an understanding of your audience. And one of the major ways in which email succeeds as a platform is its ability to be measured, which is something that really harkens back to the core brand ethos here at Opus Media, is that we're able to measure and monitor and optimize around data when it comes to email marketing to better understand an audience. For business owners, the challenge being, how do I acquire that data? How do I make use of that data? How do I give it meaning? And then once I have data and once I have an understanding of what that meaning is with that data, what do I do with it from there? How do I leverage this to improve what I'm doing? We've through, we'll say, a series of evolution, have developed what we like to think of as a email training regimen we go through with clients. We view ourselves much like a sports coach would be viewed on a sports team, in the sense that we're here to help our business owner clients develop the mechanics of doing the foundations of email marketing, and then building on those foundational mechanics to leverage optimization.
Okay, here's a question that most business owners ask. Is it possible to achieve a return on investment with email? How important is email in that respect?
As far as acquiring an ROI from email marketing, as the DMA, the Direct Marketing Association, will have you believe through its data from 2013, email marketing can yield an average of 4,300% ROI for businesses across brands and across industries in the United States. That's their latest published data on email marketing. As far as when we talk about the Direct Marketing Association and all the types of marketing in which they oversee, it includes things like direct mail and other direct marketing channels where you're going one-to-one, direct to the consumer. Email has, as long as I've been looking at the data that the DMA has published, has always been the biggest return leader as far as ROI is concerned. Second only to doing number 10 letter, second on that list is always number 10 letter mail. So as far as ROI, it represents the efficacy that you don't have with a traditional printed direct mail piece, plus the cost savings that you don't see when you have to talk about paying for postage and paying for printing and variable data printing to match an email campaign. It can be quite costly from there, and you still, generally speaking, don't have the level of control that you have with an email in terms of how specified your message can be to each sender. So part of that 4,300% ROI that the DMA has published as of August of 2013 is really predicated on your ability to the cost savings with email first and foremost, but also your ability to target your message is really the big key thing why email marketing succeeds above and beyond all else. You can target your consumers based on their interests, their buying patterns, their behaviors, whereas with direct mail, it gets delivered when the USPS gets around to it, so to speak. With email, we can learn and observe from open rates when the best time to deliver an email marketing message becomes.
Now, really small business owners, the solopreneur, may have the feeling, well, I don't want to send too much email, I don't want to bother people. They may fail to recognize that there is a goal with email marketing. What would you say to that solopreneur who's hesitant, tentative about sending email? What's the true goal of email marketing?
Well, the first thing I would say to someone who's hesitant to do email marketing is that you don't actually know what your customers are going to respond to until you start to try to do it and then measure what that response is. Again, one of the big components of why email marketing is so ROI friendly at the end of the day is because it is so measurable. So the goal of email marketing, it varies from campaign to campaign. It comes back to the overarching goals of the business at the end of the day. For our e-commerce customers, it's often about driving a conversion. Hey, we've got these 10 new products on the site, and if you act right now, you can use this 10% off coupon code to drive a sale through email marketing. That way, to get that sale message out there, is a lot more cost effective to do it through an email than say, taking out a traditional print ad in the newspaper to say we're having a sale on these new products, or even online with display advertising and paid search. Email marketing still shows up as being more cost effective. So I think the important thing is that you have a goal first and foremost. A lot of what we do with the early definition of any campaign through any channel is understanding what our goals and what our conversion metrics are. Again, with e-commerce, conversion metrics become a little bit plain in the sense that we're able to, you know, with no surprises, know that it comes back to driving a sale. Whereas when you talk about lead generation and the softer side of marketing with brand awareness, the measurability of those elements becomes a little bit softer, and certainly something that takes a little bit more consideration for how you measure. But the importance is understanding if you are running what your conversion metric is, what your goal is for your email marketing campaign. Is it, I want more people to be aware of my brand, or is it, do I want to have someone place a sale through my e-commerce store, or am I just trying to capture more information? A lot of times people fall into that middle realm that I just mentioned, which is that they're looking for lead generation. Probably a big popular part of what we do with email marketing at Opus Media is help people generate leads, show that they have a more than just a warm interest in your product or services by taking it a step further. Again, harkening back to how email marketing fits into inbound marketing, using information as currency, email marketing can drive people to download a white paper or download an infographic or provide them with content that is of value to them, and using the email as a tool to deliver that message and then drive them to a way to convert, in which case the currency that's being exchanged is your information for their details as far as what their interests are. I would say the big takeaway being it's important to have a goal. It's important to define that goal early. Otherwise, you're left not understanding or able to, you're left in a position where you can't possibly measure the efficacy of your email marketing because you have no defined goal in front of you.
Yeah, with that in mind, the goal, the strategy, the word campaign, and you've used it several times, and I always counsel my clients to design a campaign around the goal that you would like to achieve in exactly the framework that you described. Now, the question that will come up is, what are best practices with email campaigns?
I guess as we define what a campaign is, a campaign, generally speaking, is a series of email messages with a targeted goal in mind, as we've just discussed. The best practices that we often find ourselves leaning on as foundational to someone who has never taken a foray into email marketing before are just, simply put, is just leveraging historical data for what we see to be those elements of running a successful campaign as a foundation, a starting place. This is point A in your email marketing campaign in terms of, we understand these parameters about your email campaign. We know who we're trying to reach. We know what sort of messaging we're trying to put in front of them, and we understand what the conversion metric, which we're using as the benchmark for success of this campaign. Well, what are those best practices? How do we get that campaign to these people, and what are the things that we need to do within the actual email body itself, in the subject line and the sender, as well as with the delivery in terms of what time of day and time of week best practices. There's lots of variation from industry to industry and list to list as to what times of day, morning, noon, night, or time of week, Monday, Friday, or middle of the week, what types of lists respond to which types of deliverability in terms of when are we sending a message. Establishing those best practices is a great foundation for getting started to accelerate the success of those campaigns, but more importantly from there, taking and learning which of those best practices do apply to your email marketing list and which best practices are those gotcha or those aha moments where we've simply learned that your list is deviant from best practices, and being able to measure that and take note of it and then react by reoptimizing what you're doing.
As an expert or specialist in email marketing, I'd like you to address, if you will, for the more advanced audience, the A/B testing. many people are not sure what that means. Do I test with one subject line and then test with another? Help us understand a bit about A-B testing and why it's so effective.
A-B testing is effective because of, I guess it's effective when it's done correctly, and correctly subjective opinion here comes back to how you implement A-B testing. You've already touched on how A-B testing in its simplest iteration is done based on the subject line. Again, coming back to our goals, with A-B testing, our goal in that case is to discover which subject line has a greater open rate. When we talk about, I will say, my subjective opinion of what correct A-B testing is, it's when you've got a list of substantial size, we'll say arbitrarily that that list is 10,000 people. You take a small segment of that list, of that 10,000, we might send a message to 1,000 people. And of those 1,000 people, we'll have two subject lines, subject line A and subject line B. So 500 people are getting subject line A and 500 people are getting subject line B. A-B testing, again, when done correctly, will take those groups of 500, send them each one of each variation of the subject line, and we discover which of those groups, A or B, had the higher open rate based on that subject line. From there, we'll take whichever one of those campaigns was more successful based on subject line, or one of the messages, rather, based on subject line, and we'll send that out to the other 9,000 people in your list by doing the segmentated testing, essentially, to determine which subject line has a greater impact on your open rate within your audience of your list.
In my own company, we've tested subject lines that involve some metric. 30% of something occurred, and we find that we have a high open rate when we use some metric in our subject line. Do you find the same to be true in your testing?
I think one of the interesting things about email and why we put so much credence into developing the mechanics is that we need to look for that data with each and every client in every industry, because it really does vary from audience to audience. And that's one of the unique things about email, is that everybody has a different list that they're mailing to. And that list develops a personality, and you develop an understanding and a relationship with that list over time. To know whether or not they're going to react to putting statistical facts into a subject line or not is your understanding of who your list is, and you've developed that relationship of understanding. You know the folks on your list are intrigued by analytical subject lines that represent data in that fashion, and it gets them engaged and gets them to open stuff. That may work for your list, but it may not work for somebody else's list. It really is a matter of testing, hypothesizing which types of messages are going to work, and then testing those hypotheses to see if the analytical message works over the more casual subject line, for example. And again, understanding who your list is as a group of people at the end of the day will really help you determine what types of subject lines work best. It really is varying from one list to the next.
And it always comes back to knowing your market, understanding the people on your list, communicating with them in a manner that they find interesting to them. I'd like to go beyond email for a second. When I look at your website, one of the things that you do is landing pages. And everyone is always interested on how I can make my landing page more effective. I noticed that Opus Media has a strategy for that. Or you specialize, if I'm looking at it correctly, in landing page strategy. Share with us a bit of why that's important for Opus Media.
As far as landing pages are concerned, it's often one of these overlooked yet vital details to any campaign, be it an email campaign or a paid search campaign or any other campaign where you're driving people through a link back to your website. Where you send those people can be vital to the success of your campaign. You've taken the time, you've spent the money, you've put together the hard work and the blood and sweat and tears to put together this marketing campaign. To just randomly dump them on your homepage, oftentimes it is to kind of kill your campaign in the 11th hour, in the sense that if you're not completing that message from the time of them getting the email to the time of them landing on your site with a consistency for expectation purposes, you can often find that your campaign drops off from there. So you may have for the example of email, you might have a campaign that has a really great open rate and a really great click-through rate, but you have no conversion to show for it. As we break that down and look at where the bottleneck is in your conversion funnel, if we find that it's at the last step, it means that your landing page isn't effective at getting people to take that next step, be it pick up the phone and call you or fill out a contact form to learn more information and be, you know, indoctrinated as a warm lead, or in the case of e-commerce, make a purchase. So landing pages have everything to do with completing the expectation for your audience. I received an email about this great sale on shoes. if I land on a page that's full of men's pants, I'm going to experience a disconnect there as an email recipient and have a greater likelihood of not transacting or completing a conversion because I was looking at shoes, my interest was in shoes, the email was all about shoes, but I landed on a page full of pants, and now I'm disinterested. So developing a landing page that is consistent with the rest of your campaign that isn't simply sending your audience to the homepage of your website or the contact page of your website, which is often usually fairly sparse with information, rather setting up a page that facilitates that information that they received in their email that drives it a step further, and then understanding where your audience is at this point. They've already clicked on your email to open it. They've already clicked on something in your email to send them to this landing page. There's two steps of behavior that have already happened that show that this person is really, really interested in what you have to say or have to sell. So the landing page represents your opportunity to drive it home for them and to ask them for that information, to say, you know, give me your information or buy these shoes today. So what we do with landing pages a lot of times is develop strategies for figuring out which landing pages, which types of layouts, designs, messaging are most effective for our clients. Much like we do A/B testing with subject lines, as we just discussed, landing pages can be A/B multivariate tested as well to know if the red buttons get clicked more on the landing page for submitting the form, or is it the green buttons that get clicked more for submitting the form, to know which headlines work best, which header images work best on these landing pages to get people, to get your audience to take the next steps in conversion. It all really depends on those factors and being able to set up the tools for testing landing pages, both A/B or multivariate when we add a third option into the mix.
I'm going to throw you a curve, unprepared for, unrehearsed. As you know, in business, people like to know that you have expertise, and that's great, and it's clear that you have expertise. But I want you to talk to us about you. Why you designed, developed, created Opus Media. What is it about marketing and all of the things that you do that get you up in the morning, that excite you, that keep you in business in 2008? So I guess I'm asking you, tell us about you, Jason.
You know, I've had people ask me how I got started in this before, and I'm, you know, the long version of it, which may be an interview in and of itself, is that I guess I've always known this is what I was going to do since the second grade, when I brought in some drawings I was doing at home to have my then art teacher give me my very first art critique. I went on to get a fine arts degree in college with supplemental degrees in marketing and art history, actually. Went on from there and knew I wanted to work in advertising since day one of college. Went out after college and sought out the job in advertising. Got privilege of working at the top of my field, at least as the geography would allow. We have an interesting market here in Baltimore. Working for both of the largest agencies in the city, one of which has gone to the wayside, the other one is still here. And having derived from those experiences what the biggest of the biggest types of clients were expecting, and being able to work with large clients on large projects afforded an opportunity with experience there to really explore a lot, as well as, I'll say, informed a lot of my work ethic, which I then look to take and scale down for the, we'll say, the small to medium-sized businesses that we work for now at Opus Media. It was always my idea was that, you know, we could take a lot of this big agency experience and by setting up a small boutique agency, which is what Opus Media was intended to be and what it is today, could allow small and medium-sized businesses to engage in that experience, to have someone guide them through a process with the understanding that process was honed through large accounts for some sizable Fortune 500 companies over time. So for me, it's about the idea that you can deliver these big scale ideas to a smaller audience that really kind of sparked Opus Media, the genesis of the business. And it's being able to do that for my clients day in and day out. It's the reason I get up in the morning.
This has been a very quick interview, much faster than I expected. You've been quite thorough. In these last minute, 30 seconds that we have, 90 seconds, share with us, if you will, something that we did not talk about that's close to your heart, that's passionate for you, that I didn't ask you about.
Well, again, like I said, email was one of these things where I picked it up because nobody else wanted to do it, and I just kind of owned the process. I got a lot of experience very quickly because all these big-name clients wanted it. But talking more about email and where it's going, I guess, would be the thing I would use these seconds to talk about. So much of email has changed the way we used to email market when I first got started. Again, keeping in mind that email marketing was it as far as direct interaction with your potential customers. There was no Facebook, there was no Twitter at the time. As far as social media wasn't an entity as of yet, but as we talk about the evolution of email marketing, email is definitely evolving into being a more targeted, a more segmented, a more casual, I'll say casual in terms of how intimate it can be with your audience, being able to be more tapped into who your audience is, to be able to segment down to the individual, but then taking this big data approach, as we hear that word being used regularly, this big data approach to measure your list on the whole and then segment down to the granular individual and being able to know that Sally Smith responds to email sent at 11 o'clock in John Johnson's response to email sent at 4, we can schedule a campaign now and send it out to different people based on their preferences even further than we could before, which is interesting. And a lot of it, again, comes back into the nature of inbound marketing in a lot of ways, which is where email is kind of finding its new home, we'll say. Email marketing is being wrapped or enveloped in a lot of ways into inbound marketing. And for our audience members who may have heard the term but not quite sure what to make of it, have not yet done any research on it. Simply put, inbound marketing is the ability through leveraging a number of different marketing channels to engage with an audience of warm leads and keep that audience engaged until they are at a point in their buying cycle where they can come back and make a purchase. It's about engaging and measuring the temperature of your audience so that you can send messages to keep them warm. And then when you find that your audience is increasing in their likelihood of purchasing, you can ask for the sale at the end of the day. So it's a way to just keep an audience engaged without annoying them, really, is what we're all trying to avoid with all channels of marketing. So as far as the new home of email marketing, it really is inside this umbrella of inbound marketing as far as where it's going into the future.
Today we've had the privilege of speaking with Jason Warner, founder, president, and owner of Opus Media. You can find him at opusbywire.com. Jason, it's been a real pleasure to have you launch with us our marketing theme for 2015, and I appreciate your coming. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Ellen.